Okay, Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. Well, so before we begin, I want to ask a couple questions. Are you ready for this? I'm not going to give any answers. I'm just going to push back. Do we know why we wash our hands before we eat bread?
Reminder of what the Kohanim did. So we're in Golos. We have to remember all these things from the temple.
Are you a Kohen?
No.
So why are you washing your hands?
What?
So why would you wash it then?
As I said, as a reminder, like Rashi.
Okay, so you're saying as a reminder for what the Kohanim did, we all have to wash our hands. All right, could be.
So also we should all duchen too.
Well, good point. Might be Nisra Asay to do that, but yeah.
My parents
didn't
I'm
the firstborn.
We don't necessarily have to, but because it's something when Mashiach comes, we're going to be starting doing again. It's something we're doing. I remember.
All right. Interestingly, you're pointing that the Meherishi Bana Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash comes, we want to be habituated to washing. You're both pointing out something to do with Kohanim, Tumah, maybe, could be, I don't know. You have something else?
So I have a question. What's so special about bread that you...
I'm asking questions now. I'm asking questions.
I don't know. Typically, you'd say Tumah, your hands
Tumah. Okay, I'm asking questions. Here's the question. Ready for this? You wake up at... It says 12 a.m. here. Who wakes up at 12 a.m.? I'm still up. Okay. You wake up at 3 a.m. Let me see you sleeping. Why do you wake up? Because your baby, Perry, woke up in the middle of the night and wants a bottle. Sorry, we recorded. Your baby, Ellie, wakes up in the middle of the night and wants a bottle. So, what do? Happened last night. You put your baby on there and you're good. You're good. You shivbacher. So, what do you do when you wake up at 3 a.m.? You feed your baby, but also you want something to eat, Lamaisa. So, and what do you eat at 3 a.m.? Like, there's the normal things most people eat. You eat yeshiva bachar, you get a sandwich, which is from 2 weeks ago. Now, the problem is, you're already doing the feeding. So one hand is holding. You only have one hand free. Do you have to wash both hands? Or can you say, this hand's never going to touch the bread. All I need to do is wash this hand.
Realistically, how are you going to, actually wash?
It's a fair question, though. I'll ask the question differently, okay? If I wear gloves, do I need to wash my hands?
So I've been in situations traveling in places where there was no water available, and the Rav that was with us said that you could...
Be careful. I don't want to impugn any Ravs that you were with you.
It doesn't matter. I'm saying, told us that if we don't touch, it's like, maybe.
I don't know. Next time we're in that situation, I hope we'll know the answer. If we get an answer to that, but yeah, fair question, right? If your hands are covered, do you have to wash your hands? Here's another question.
Washing of the hands. The reason is to wash of the hands, or is it just
you become a lamed in here, Mike?
Oh,
look at
I
this.
Was gonna say,
we'll get there.
Better yeshiva than me.
I'll give you another one. Ready? A few months ago, you were an onain.
Yes.
An onain is putter from mitzvos. In the event you had to eat bread. You didn't make a bracha. Did you wash your hands?
Probably not.
Doesn't Onan wash your hands? Doesn't Onan wash your hands?
Is it a
mitzvah? That's a good question. I don't know. I'm asking you. Okay, I'll ask you another. Ready for this one? At the Seder, you're hosting your friends and his family. Your son brings a cup of water and a bowl for washing. You wash your hands and begin to recite the bracha. When your friend says, hey, you need to stand for the bracha. Is he right?
No.
But this is your hamotzi. You're sitting.
Most brachas. You're not talking about the food. Sound.
You're sitting for hamotzi. Now I'm letting you know. I'm purposely being playing devil's advocate here, which is what I want to do most times. I'm in the show, but now I can do it fairly.
I think most people do because we usually eat at the sink.
That doesn't mean it's right.
Right.
I had a Rebbe Reb Lachman. He's a colorful character, to say the least. So he quoted a Sefer HaChinuch once that says that Minog, he followed the Rove. He looked around the room and goes, you guys are Amoratzim. I'm a rabbi. I'm a minority. You're not following Rove. Just because most people do it, does that make it right? Maybe it does. I don't know. I'm just asking. Maybe it doesn't. I'll tell you another line. If not the Greenblatt. He's from Memphis, Tennessee. His yard sign, I think, is today, actually. It's good to invoke his name. So he once said he'd rather go to Gehenna with all Jews than to go to Gan Eden with the one Jew who found that piece of Mishnah Berurah that no one knew of. Okay. Here's another one. Ready for this question? And we'll go to the halacha soon. You get a text from your daughter. She says, I made you a sandwich in the fridge. So you come home. It's 1 a.m. Sounds like you're working for, exactly. You wash your hands, you make an alatis yadayim with all the kavana, you take the sandwich out, and it's spelt bread. And as you know, it says here, you hate spelt bread. Everyone.
Hate spelt bread.
Good. Do you need to take a bite now from it? Or you're like, actually, I don't want it, and therefore, forget it. Is it a bracha levatala? Did I make a bracha levatala on my nitzos dimes? Therefore, in order to avoid the bracha levatala, not need a bracha, I have to
find another bread?
Or do I say, no, forget it, and I can leave it there? What do you think?
We do nitzos dimes for other things. Don't make a bracha necessarily, but say, like, when you wake up, when you,
okay.
Bathroom.
I'm saying it's not necessarily
connected to the food.
Right.
Interesting.
But if you already made the bracha, did you make the tilsi bracha already?
Yeah, you made the tilsi daim. You unwrap the thing with the ribbon and bow on top. It says "Love you, Daddy." And oh, spelt.
So,
it's a fair question. Okay, let's do one more. Your friend is eating at your house for Shabbos lunch, and he's about to wash his hands. A drop of water falls on them, but he continues to wash his slightly wet hands. You are in shock. I thought you were from. This guy's really, okay. The halacha is that your hands need to be dry when washing. He obviously can't answer anymore because he washes hands. But his wife can. What does she tell you? Other than, get out of my house. Can you have wet hands when you wash your hands?
If they were clean from before.
What do you say?
You mean when you make the broth?
Yeah, your hands have to be dry when you wash them, or can they be wet? What would be the problem with that? I don't know. It sounds new to me.
Your hands become wet when you wash them.
What if your hands are already wet?
Because you didn't, the pouring is what, that
you
like,
have
removes.
To have clean hands before you can wash
them. You had a pool party. You had a pool party.
It's the force of the water. You need the
correct. Force. No, but I'm a step beyond that. Right. Regardless, I want to hear his pool party story. Then we can go on.
That pool party, you're during the summer, and Emma's making his barbecuing, and you get out of the water. You get the water to have a hot dog. Right, your hands already wet, and then bring it to the pool. So
to have to dry them first.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Do I have to dry them first?
So you're saying that if there was water before, so that water wasn't the kavanah of washing the bread.
Could be. Fine. So these are all fair questions, right? So let's delve into what exactly the bracha or the source of netilas of washing our hands is. If you open up the Maror Makomos, the first page is as follows. I don't know. Okay. In the Beis HaMikdash, now we're going towards what Betzalel started pointing out, there was a gezerah, a decree, that because our hands are often busy, they decreed our hands are called shnios, tutuma. What does that mean? So you're with me for Zerayim, maybe you'll remember some of this. Truma has to be eaten b'tahara, in a state of purity. There are multiple levels of purity. If you were to go back, a dead body is considered an avi avosa tuma. That's like the be-all and end-all of tumah. You can't get anything more impure than a dead body. That transmits tumah to an avatumah. It makes it one less. Anything can be an avatumah. It's one less. People are avatumah. Only a dead body can be avivos. A person is avatumah. The Kohen is forbidden, parenthetically, from becoming tummy only to a dead body, an avivos tumah. The avatumah now can make I should have brought a chart in. Anything the avatumah touches now makes the next thing a rishon l'tumah. Right? So we have level 1, dead body, level 2, level 3, level 4 is sheni l'tuma. Sheni l'tuma can only be fruit. The sheni l'tuma is also, it's less of a problem, except when it comes to truma. Truma is the only the problem. Because we have this hot, we're so sensitive to prevent truma from becoming tame, even we're this far removed from the dead body, or it doesn't have to be a dead body, it could be a dead sheretz, could be certain emissions from a body, we avoid that as well. So therefore, what we could effectively have is a person who is totally pure, didn't touch a dead body, didn't come into any contact, went to the mikvah, all good and well, but his hands, because he doesn't know what he touched, maybe he touched something, which is a lower level impurity, which will then transmit impurity to the truma. So to avoid that, we say, wash your hands. If you wash it correctly, that will get rid of any of these lower level tumas which may be on your hands. This is the din that follows in the Beis HaMikdash. Sorry, I messed it up. The truma can only be a shlishi. Okay, fine. This is the din of the Beis HaMikdash. Comes along the Gemara and says, because of this concept of Shrach Truma, we are concerned that people aren't going to be careful when it comes to Truma. Their hands are all over the place. Their hands are going to be impure. They're going to touch Truma. We institute that before you eat Truma, obviously you have to wash your hands. Before you eat anything, or let's get any bread from now, you have to wash your hands. Or because we don't want to run into a situation where you neglect to wash your hands and you eat Truma. So it seems to be a preventative measure, so you don't come to touch Truma with impure hands. We make you wash your hands for everything. That's step number one. Why then you're thinking, so why just bread? Who asked that question? So there are various answers given. Either it could be because bread is what we're kovei asud on, it's the ikker. Most people don't really eat other things as often. It could be that ultimately truma was most often with grain. So once you're making a gezerah to prevent truma, we're already a step removed. We're only going to do with what's most common, which is grain products and bread. It could just be they only made it on things when you're kovei asuda, sit down to eat a meal. If you're not kovei asuda, then you don't have to wash your hands, which gives you a little light bulb go off. That's why maybe we don't wash for things that are like cake and cookies, which we don't eat sudas on, we don't eat meals on. But that's certainly step number one. We'll get there. That's definitely step number one. Any thoughts?
Yeah, how do we get, so because the Kohanim had to make sure their hands were ready to go, or their hands were become Mashios.
Yeah.
Therefore, everyone.
So they made it a Xer on everyone. It could also be part of Meher B'Rabbi Mitzvah Mikdash. You pointed out, the Xer went to everyone, that we all wash our hands before we partake in any sort of eating of bread.
Even though something that would never be applicable to us.
Correct. It almost to create like an Avirah. Now, I'll tell you this. It bothered me as well. But then I realized the Gemara goes on. You ready for this? This is source number four. The Gemara says as follows. Omer of Edi bar Oven, Omer of Yitzhak bar Asin, Nitilas Yadayim l'chulun mipnei Shrach Truma. The Gemara wants to know why are we washing hands for chulun. Chulun are non-sacred items. Because of Shrach Truma, this concept I've been telling you of that we want to habituate all of us to constantly wash our hands so we never run into a situation where we're going to go and make truma impure, which could be its own violation. V'od, what does v'od mean?
Furthermore,
mishum mitzvah.
Because of a commandment.
Good. My mitzvah, so tell me, new. What's the mitzvah? Amar Abaye, mitzvah l'shmoa divrei chachamim. The command to listen to the sages. So now it's like, okay, listen to the sages do what? So Tosfos over here jumps up and down. It's like, I don't understand. You told me you wash your hands for Truma. Furthermore, it's a mitzvah to listen to the words of the sages, but the only reason the sages commanded it was because of Shrach Truma. So it's one answer. It's wash your hands because it got to listen to the sages who told you should be careful of Truma. Doesn't seem to make any sense, right?
Maybe listen to the sages to something else.
What?
Not connected.
What? So Tosfos says, what Alex says, Shlomo, what do you go by? Alex, Shlomo, Sasha?
Like I tell my clients, whatever makes me more money.
Whatever makes you more money. Okay, fine.
Call me whatever you want, man.
Okay. So, Tosva says, actually, mishum nikios, because of cleanliness. That's interesting, no? Because of cleanliness? Where did that come from? So, if you look, what?
My kindergarten.
Your kindergarten, very good. All I ever needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. Great book. So, if you look at the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us that when you should mikdash your hands, that's Maim Rishonim. And there it talks about in terms of cleanliness. But it's interesting, Rabbi Soloveitchik has a wonderful piece on this. It's interesting, both Rabbi Soloveitchik and his great grandfather, Rav Chaim and the Rav, both had took similar but different approaches to this Gemara. They both were a little perplexed by it. Who should we go? I'm trying to think where are we going time wise. I'm in number four. Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out, let's do the Rav first. Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out, if you look in the Rambam does something a little peculiar. He writes as follows, in the laws of Netilas Yadayim for Suda, he writes as a command to wash your hands, and he includes in that, wash your hands before davening and before other ritual acts. So Rabbi Soloveitchik is like, what's going on with that? Like, why are we throwing that in there? Clearly, the Rambam understands not it's about Truma, but rather it's about cleanliness. The same way you're supposed to have your hands clean before you go and daven, you're supposed to have your hands clean before you engage in eating food. That's If that's what he says. Yeah. You want? Okay. That's this is I found this is found the Rishima Shiuri. That's what he says.
Why do we make a bracha?
Because once we institute it, so then once Chazal institute anything, we can make a bracha lishmol debri chachamim. Mitzvah is to listen to the sages who say we should have clean hands.
We don't make a bracha if you wash before davening.
So you're saying why is it a heightened level here? It's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
For the same reason.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Oh no, I lied to you. It's not a good question. The Rambam says, "Call note the other bin lechila bin lekriya shema bin letfilim vavarach tila asher kachem etzvot tefillin al detelzi daim." According to Rambam, we do make a bracha. Very good. Okay, fine. That's what he says. The Rav Chaim says it a little differently. This is I spent a little while on this today, and I don't want to get too bogged down in it. For Rav Chaim understands as follows. Rav Chaim was the Rav's grandfather. He says that any time the Rambam writes about this takana of Shlomo HaMelech, that we have concern of Shrach Truma. We have a concern that we don't want people to treat Truma to desecrate Truma. Anytime the Rambam says it, and he's talking about not in the world of just a regular mundane chulun. The Rambam is always talking about in the world of Truma, in the world of Tumah and Tahara. The Ravid on the spot consistently says, V'hu ha-din, the same law applies to chulun. Meaning to say as follows, the Rambam is like, oh, by the way, there's this concept of Tumah, and we wash our hands to avoid, keep our hands Tumah so we can eat Truma. Ravid's like, Rambam, you forgot to add, and for chulun as well, don't you know? So the Ravid consistently always throws in laws of Truma to laws of Chulin. The Rambam doesn't do that. The Rambam seems to keep it separate. He has the laws of Nikios in Bakrishma, and Nikios by Brachos, and Nikios by eating, and he has the laws of Truma, and that in the other area. Says Rav Chaim as follows. This is a brilliant insight. He says that clearly the Rambam fundamentally understands the difference between washing your hands for Truma is fundamentally different than washing your hands for Chulin. He says as follows. When you have to eat truma, if a person has to eat truma, there's a checklist you have to do. You have to be a kohen. You have to also be, let's say,
ready.
No, you have to be ready. There's a number of things you have to do. You have to be a kohen, it has to be yours, right? In that list is also you have to be tahar. So as you're going on the list, okay, Yossi Katz are going down, kohen, check. It's mine, check. Tahar, I gotta go wash my hands. Meaning to say, there's no actual din to wash your hands to eat truma. It's just you need to have pure hands. So how do you get pure hands? You go wash them. But in the event,
why just your hands?
Because there is only on the hands. Meaning, if your body is actually coming from a regional tumor, an avatuma, it's everything. Oh. We're talking about a case where you're pure, but your hands, there's a special gezeira on your hands because they're touching and maybe they touched something that was a lower level tumor. So that's where it's going from. But says the Rav Chaim as follows: for the Rambam, if you parenthetically washed your hands and then were so careful and you looked at your hands and didn't touch anything for 12 hours, you wouldn't have to wash your hands again for truma, because the whole point of washing your hands for truma is just to make sure your hands are tahar.
So theoretically, I was a pig, and I.
So we'll get there. Ready for this? However, why are we washing our hands for netilas hadayim for the suda? Says the Gemara, mipnei mitzvah. Rav Chaim understands the mitzvah is simply, as you were almost said, Chazal said, a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to wash your hands. Not because we want to ensure your hands are tahar, because the Chazal decided there's an inyan to make a mitzvah to wash your hands. Meaning to say, it's not that I have a checklist of, oh, if I want to eat truma, here's what I have to do. I wash my hands. I want to eat chulin, here's what I do. I have to wash my hands. Rather, the second I say I want to eat chulin, there's a new mitzvah kicks in. I thought an analogous case would be, if I want to eat food on Sukkot, I have to go. I have a mitzvah now to eat it in the Sukkah. It's not that the mitzvah of eating requires me to eat in the Sukkah. No, it's a separate din, right? So the way he looks at it is, there's a mitzvah to engage in washing one's hands for chulin. When it comes to truma, it's just your hands have to have been washed. What's a nafka mina going to be? Well, twofold. Number one is as follows. According to the Ravid, he requires both of them. The Ravid requires both, because the Ravid consistently always said mitzvah and also, the Ravid said, the same law that applies by Truma is also applying by Chulin. So says Rav Chaim as follows. This I thought was brilliant. Therefore, he says as follows. In the event you are traveling with Alex, Sasha, Shlomo, and you have no water available for you, right? Well, why are you washing your hands? If you're washing your hands because it's a mitzvah to do so, as the Rambam said, well, we know, we've discussed multiple different scenarios. if you can't do a mitzvah, onus rachmana patre, and you're exempt from it. If we discussed, you're traveling the desert and you have a four-corner garment, there's no availability to tie tzitzis onto it, you're patur from tzitzis. You can put on the four-corner garment. We discussed in a shir a couple weeks ago, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you're somewhere where you can't dip the kalim in the mikvah, you're at someone's house, let's say, and if you pick up the kalim that they're eating from and walk up and put in the mikvah, like they'll be like, what are you stealing kalim from me? Rav Shlomo Zalman's other opinion there as well, that when you, if you can't do a mitzvah, so then we just say, okay, what can you do? And you can go ahead with life. Therefore, says Rav Chaim as follows. The Rambam would be of the opinion, if you're traveling in the desert, you're traveling with Alech Shas or Shlomo, and you don't have access to water, so then you can just eat the bread as regular. Because it's just a mitzvah to wash your hands, separate din from Truma, and what can you do? Whereas, according to the Ravid, it's more than just a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to wash your hands, but also it's an iser. He extends it from the Truma, there's also an iser to eat the Truma, to eat the hands if they're tameh, right? Right, it was a mitzvah to wash your hands for the bread, but also it's an issur to eat bread if your hands are tameh, which you have to wash your hands. So according to the Ravid, therefore, if you don't have water accessible to you, yes, from a perspective of the mitzvah, you can eat the bread, but from a perspective of the fact that you had the tameh, you can't, and therefore you'd have to put on a mop, you'd have to put on some sort of glove, put on some sort of towel.
So towel. The Rav was the Ravid.
Correct. Which would mean if you're...
I think he was hungry.
Which would mean if it's... Which would answer our question we asked initially, that if you... Why can't I just put on gloves? And the answer might be because according to the Ravid, in the way Rav Chaim understands it, it's not just about having your hands covered so they don't make the bread impure. It's also there's a mitzvah involved. You have an opportunity to do a mitzvah to wash your hands.
No, but I was saying, but for a mitzvah, we said... I think Rav says you can't.
You're going to the case you can't. I'm standing right here right now. It's like, you know what? I don't want to wash. I have to go over to the sink over there, take the paper towels. It's always 12 of them come off. I don't want to do that. And somehow this show, there's never a garbage available for the towel. Okay, fine. So you know what I'll do? I'll put my gloves. I don't eat it. Why can't I do that? I'm not touching the bread. Well, says Rav Chaim, yeah, but you're missing out. You have a mitzvah to do, and you're not doing it, which is why you have to wash your hands, even though you're wearing gloves.
Okay, but you don't have an opportunity, obviously.
No, in the event you had... This is when I have...
It's a mitzvah, it's like an
assay. Right? Again, listen. If I'm sitting right here in shul, the water's right there. I can easily go and wash my hands. I say, I don't want, I'm just going to put on gloves. The answer is no, because you're avoiding a mitzvah. If I'm out in the Sahara Desert, and there's no water available, so then, according to the Ravid, still cover my hands because there's an issur to eat with your hands at tameh. According to the Rambam, no, the issur is only about truma. Yes, Michael.
In that case, how would that affect benching if, say, half the people wore gloves? You know, forget you're in the desert or whatever, but half the people wore gloves, and so they didn't wash. Then
no, benching is for hamotzi, not for netilat yadayim. Yeah.
Okay. Well, one thing. So you made quite a split between you sitting here and the water there and Sahara Desert.
100%. Yeah.
Right. Where do we draw the line? Like how much?
Very good. You go. So let's do that. Let's do this. Perfect. And we'll get to the Rav after the owning after. We have time. Yeah, we have some time. Good. So it says, let's do just that. Okay. So what happens? No water is available. So it's actually very interesting. The laws actually seem to parallel in terms of going to find a minion. We say if you're traveling, so then you have to, and you're going towards a destination. You're on your way. You're traveling to Florida to go avoid paying state income tax, and you're somewhere in Virginia. There's no water available. We say go up to 4 mil, which is approximately 18 minutes is a mil, so 72 minutes ahead of you. We use that sheet often. 72 minutes. If you can still, if you know there'll be within 72 minutes a place to access water, you have an obligation to travel forward. Traveling backwards is only 18 minutes. Traveling forward, and the Bir Halacha points out, it's with whatever mode of transportation you have available to you. I mean, you can't say, if I walked it, I'm not going to have it, but I'm sitting on my motorcycle, I can easily get it. So that's normally what we say, about 18 minutes or so. Going forward, if you're in your house, we assume it's if you're stationary, you're not traveling, so you have to go within 18 minutes. So you get that notice from the American Water that there's no water in your house. What should you do?
Go
over to the couches. Exactly. So that's what we're talking about in terms of tircha. That should answer your question. Okay, fine. But even then, we say it's better to Shulchan Aruch Paskins. You should wear some sort of glove, cover your hand, and cover both hands. The hands holding the baby, but Lamaisa. You might end up touching your hand, and you have the tumah. And you'll see that a lot of halachas are going to end up paralleling the tumah. Another one's going to be how much you wash for. I don't know if that's in this unit. How much do you wash for? We say only for a kibetza. It happens to be end up passing less, but a kibetza is an egg's worth. And some say because that's the minimum shear that transmits or can get contaminated with tumah.
Oh.
So there's different ways of looking at it. I don't think that wasn't for today, but there's a lot of overlap with tumah. It's interesting. The last month, Hilchas Chavah learned Hilchas Nida. We find a lot of that as well in Hilchas Nida. That there's a lot of holdover, if you will, from the world of Tumah and Tahara, even though Nida might not be Tumah and Tahara. Okay. Next. How do you wash your hands? How do you wash your hands?
With a vessel.
Okay, good. How many times do you wash?
Three times each.
Two. So what's that about? Everyone's washing more than once. He said, this is the famous story of Charles Salanter. He washed just his fingertips, the machlokas is up to here. He washed just up to here. Someone said, why? He goes, because someone had to schlep the water. Okay, we don't have to schlep the water. What's going on with this? So that really, you need to pour water on your own hand. The issue is that if you pour water on your hand, now there's water sitting in your hand that now becomes contaminated from your hand. So it's just going to recontaminate your hands. That's true. It's going to recontaminate your hands. You pour twice on, that water is now going to wash away. You have it all, hopefully all washed off at once. Which is why they point out, if you use a revius of water, then you don't need to do this. Once you use a revius of water on each hand, so then we'll assume that the water is going to, whatever water was there, it's just going to clean the hand and also wash everything away, almost like you're dipping in the mikvah. That's the assumption there as well. I was going to point out, some people admit it to hold their hand in the air.
I don't know what my
No, so why is this?
Because
you pour like this, then the water might go here and roll back, and you end up with issues of water moving around, then again, water becomes contaminated, it rolls down here, and then it rolls back. So now you've recontaminated your hands, you've negated the purpose of washing. So you keep your hands like this, the water's not going to roll. However, if you use a revius, again, once you use a revius, you assume it's like dipping in the mikvah, so whatever water's on is gone already, you put a revius in each hand, you're good. But some still have a minute to do two, some have apparently a minute to do three, but really you can do a revius in each hand, and you're good, and there's your kula for the day. What do you say? We're not there yet. Let's wait for next week. I think that the Gemara points out people who use a lot of water. It's a school of Rashiras. Okay, for wealth.
We went to Howie Hess's cousins. It's in Borough Park somewhere. I've never seen someone take so long to wash.
He probably dried his hands, right?
I saw a video.
It was the same person.
It was like
else was.
It was literally like 10 minutes to watch it.
So it could
it's
be.
Up, it's up. It's down. It's.
It could be. Why? Because if your hands are wet, it's the same thing. The water is gonna whatever's wet your hands now. That water becomes contaminated, and the water is gonna touch it. It's just gonna create. It's gonna continue on with the contamination.
But then your wrist and your arm gets wet. You're holding on like this, it's going to come down here, but we don't care about that.
Right, correct. But here, if your hands are, this is what came up, why some people wash your hands or wash a cup. If your hands are wet, water always transmits tumah. It's one of the gzeiros that water, no matter what level of tumah you're on, once if water hits it, water brings everything back to harishon. So in order to avoid that, some people have a minhag to, or a halacha to dry, keep your hands extremely dry, and also dry the cup, so you clear all water. The chasnish is very makbid in this. Mishdavura is like, no, because again, once you use a revias, you avoid all these issues.
Because yes. Here's the thing now. You wash one hand, that's all wet now. Now you're grabbing...
You have two handles.
That's why I guess.
That's why you have two handles. No, that's what could be why.
So
the Bir Lach also was right. If your hands are dirty, you want to get rid of any chatzitza, any imposition, so you should wash it off. It never says you have to dry your hand after doing that. So Mishnah Berurah is like, so this chumrah of drying your hand, clearly we talk about washing your hand to prepare, doesn't mention anything of drying, so clearly it's not a problem. Again, the chazitza is machmir. They brought down in Orchas Rabbeinu that Chaim Kanievsky once in his house and some water got in his hand. And Chazan goes, dry your hands. But Lamaisa, I don't know if there's a need because again, we're using a revius and is it really going to happen? Again, the water is also going to wash off. It's less of a problem. Okay.
We should dry the cup after you use it.
Yes, correct. So a whole long discussion. If you're in a public place and using a cup and it's wet, and who knows if people don't know how to wash correctly, it's probably... Okay, last piece is as follows. What about an onate? So this comes back to the classic chakira and lumdus. The Rabbi Salvechik brings up as follows. He says, "If you need to ode him ocha pas blina tilos adayim over isra achilu mitzvah osrak pitul mitzvah derabanan shlitzas adayim." So he asks a little different than the grandfather, than the zayde, and he says, "This, if you eat bread without washing, are you just avoiding a missing a mitzvah basically, or no, there's actually an isra to eat bread without washing your hands? Is there an isra to eat bread without washing your hands, or no, you're just avoiding a mitzvah?" So it's a little different than the zayde. And what's his nafka mina going to be? An onan. An onan, as we know, someone who is I always have to point this out. The technical term onan is totally misused. The technical term onan is someone is can't mishnayomi, or you're not there yet. Tell me a little behind. The technical term onan is for someone who is someone who the day that a relative dies, they're prohibited from partaking in karbanos. That's an onan. When we say onan, what we really mean is misha meis mutalafanov, someone who literally the dead body's in front of them, i.e. someone who has one of their shiva krovim, their seven relatives, who have not been buried yet. And for either of two reasons, either because it's their job now to be engaged in the burial and everything that entails, therefore, osik mitzvah, patam and mitzvah, they're exempt from all other mitzvos, or because it's a bizarre, as they say, you're going out and like putting on tefillin and doing all these mitzvos while your relative is literally hasn't put in the ground yet, how can you do that? However you want to look at it, obviously there can be ramifications, whilst your relative is not in the ground, you're exempt from positive mitzvos. You can't go and eat pork, not a license, you can't do negative things. Only positive mitzvos. Well, now we can ask our question. If you tell me, netilas adayim is a mitzvah, like putting on tefillin, said l'chora, the same way you're not making brachos, you shouldn't wash your hands. Whereas if you tell me, no, not at all. Netilas adayim, there's an isser, the rabbis created an isser to eat bread without washing, l'chora and onan should at least wash, not make a brach, but at least wash their hands. No? He brings another nafka mina, another ancient nafka mina. Someone who has to eat bread, chola, someone who's sick, needs to eat bread on Yom Kippur. Well, should they wash their hands? Because there's another prohibition of washing your hands on Yom Kippur. If you tell me it's about a mitzvah, then l'chor they shouldn't. Whereas if you tell me there's an isser, then maybe they should wash at least to the minimum amount. Okay, so those are some. He has a couple more, but we don't have to go through all of them. But that's just some of the wonderful lumdus that comes up in here as well. So in summary, should we go back to our opening questions? We didn't even get to all of them. Okay. Question one is, back to the basics. Why did Chazal enact to wash your hands before eating bread? Why only before bread and not other foods? Yeah. Okay. Good. Exactly. Or because it's only for informal meals. Formal meals. Good. Your baby wakes up, you have to wash both hands.
Because you can easily transmit
in touch. What about can I just wear gloves? How do we pass in Lamaisa?
If you have 18 minutes or 72.
Correct. But can I just in general wear gloves and avoid washing?
No.
Why? Because we said there seems to be there's a mitzvah to wash your hands more than that. Here's a new question I'd ask you for. You're on the bus on your way to Yerushalayim to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut 2023. 16 minutes until you get there and you are starving. So you open up your sandwich bag and you realize you have a sandwich but you forgot to pack water. Although I don't know what you do with the water. It's Israel. Yeah, you pour it on the floor there. Can you eat your sandwich? I'm not talking about Mazonas bread. That's way too complicated. Please.
No, because you're within 18 minutes.
72 minutes. Because you're going towards Yerushalayim.
Fine, you're with
yes, AW. Correct. Okay, we didn't talk about standing, so we'll talk about that next time. And okay, so that is what we have for today. Any questions, comments, thoughts? No. Okay.